This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yiswu Heep, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
This is really your victory. This is really your night.
That's former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton after being formally nominated last night as the Democratic Party's presidential candidate. Details coming up.
Also, reports indicate South Sudanese government soldiers allegedly raped dozens of women and girls outside a UN camp in Juba, and 52 suspected Islamic State militants have been arrested in Morocco.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party made history yesterday. Mrs. Clinton has become the first woman nominated to run for president by a major U.S. political party. But as much as Democrats want to celebrate, there are challenges ahead in uniting the party and preparing to take on Republican Donald Trump in the general election. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more on the second day of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, delegates. History.
Philadelphia is no stranger to history, and on Tuesday it added another chapter, the first woman nominated for president by a major U.S. political party.
All in favor of the motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it.
Democrats officially nominated Clinton after the traditional roll call of the states, setting off a celebration inside the convention hall. The nominee later thanked the delegates via satellite from her home in New York.
This is really your victory. This is really your night.
Earlier, former President Bill Clinton brought the delegates to their feet with an impassioned appeal on behalf of his wife.
I hope you'll elect her. Those of us who have more yesterdays than tomorrow tend to care more about our children and grandchildren. The reason you should elect her is that in the greatest country on earth, we have always been about tomorrow. Your children and grandchildren will bless you forever if you do. God bless you. Thank you.
And in a bid for party unity, it was Clinton's former rival, Bernie Sanders, who urged his followers to join behind the former Secretary of State.
I move that all votes cast by delegates be reflected in the official record, and I move that Hillary Clinton be selected as the nominee of the Democratic Party for President of the United States.
But in a sign of lingering party tensions, scores of Sanders delegates and supporters staged a convention walkout into a nearby media tent where they held a silent protest. Michael Grom is a Sanders delegate from Ohio.
They were representing that they had no voice in this democracy. They felt that they could completely shut out. Our democracy has been taken over by corporations.
Despite the discord, Clinton delegate Janet Buskey of Alabama was thrilled with the nomination.
All the rights denied to blacks, all the rights denied to women, we're sort of coming full circle, and I see a complete America.
With much of this week's focus on Democrats, Republican Donald Trump still has been busy on the campaign trail. Trump went after Hillary Clinton's record on military veterans Tuesday during a speech in North Carolina.
We know how she takes care of the veterans. Just look at her invasion of Libya and her handling of Benghazi. A disaster.
On Wednesday, the Democratic delegates will hear from President Barack Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, and Clinton's vice presidential running mate, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. Hillary Clinton will address the convention on Thursday. Jim Malone, VOA News, at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Thank you, Jim. Well, Democrats continue to celebrate today at their national convention the historic nomination of Hillary Clinton as the first woman nominated for president in a major U.S. political party. Well, tonight, delegates will hear from President Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, and Clinton's vice presidential running mate, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. Our colleague Vincent McCourty is at the convention. He describes the mood there today and updates us on the latest developments.
Kim, we can say it is ecstatic. It's electric. You could see in the hall almost disbelief among the people that the time has come when history has been made in this country. Whether Hillary becomes the president or not, for the first time in the United States, a major political party has nominated a woman to be its flag bearer. And so Hillary Clinton has punctured a major hole in that glass ceiling, and that's quite an achievement. So for many of them, people here, it is the significance of it. And if she does become president, history will have been made twice in a row. First black president, just followed soon after by the first female president. Many are ecstatic about that. They just can't stop celebrating.
I understand that Bernie Sanders' supporters are still not on board yet with the Clinton train. So are they still protesting? What is going on with his supporters?
You know, the diehard Bernie Sanders supporters are not relenting. They are protesting, and I think you're going to see these protests until the end of this DNC, but they probably will continue all the way to November. Those who strongly believe that Bernie Sanders is the only person who is fit to be president of this country, they, despite of the pleas from Bernie Sanders himself, are adamant that they will not support Hillary Clinton. They believe they started a movement. They will continue propagating the message of Bernie Sanders, and they believe it will continue to Election Day and beyond. But the upside of this is that it is believed that a great number of Bernie Sanders supporters are willing to support Hillary Clinton, not so much because they like her, but because of the inevitability of the situation. It is either they support Hillary Clinton or Trump wins the election. It's not something that worries the party so much, you know, that they will lose too many voters. Their concern is just the disruption of it, the sense of chaos and pandemonium. That is the big problem that has been surrounding this convention.
There is criticism from the Philadelphia Fraternal Order of Police saying that while the DNC did highlight the Black Lives Matter movement by putting the spotlight on African-American mothers whose sons and daughters were killed by police officers, they did not include victims of violence against police. So how is the Clinton campaign responding to this?
The Clinton campaign is saying we are also going to present the side of the police, and especially police officers who can come and talk about the dangerous job that police officers have to perform every day. They say former Philadelphia Police Commissioner, for example, Charles Ramsey, as well as Joy Sweeney, who is a detective with the NYPD, who dug through the rubble of the World Trade Center to search for survivors on September 11, 2001, they will be speaking at the convention. Also say that this list will also include the daughter of the principal who was slain while protecting students during the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre, as well as three of the survivors of the mass shooting at the Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina. The spokesperson of Hillary Clinton in a statement said that Hillary has said very clearly that they need to support heroic police officers who put their lives on the line every day, and also they want to listen to the voices of children. So they feel that they're giving it a balance, that they're presenting both sides, and they say they will be highlighting the courageous efforts of enforcement officers at this convention, and that includes also the law enforcement officers here in Pennsylvania and also across the country.
Looking at tonight, what can we expect from tonight's speakers?
That will be President Barack Obama. That will be Vice President Joe Biden, then Leo Panetta.
I also understand that Hillary Clinton's running mate, Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, will also be speaking tonight. What are the expectations for Mr. Kaine tonight?
This is the big night for the vice presidential nominee. Of course, the expectations will be him first talking about how important the position of vice president is. Definitely, he will look at what he considers some of the greatest qualities that Hillary Clinton possesses and how he will complement those qualities as vice president, and how him and Hillary Clinton can advance the platform of the Democratic Party and create a great administration.
My colleague Vincent McCorry at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
As reported, Hillary Clinton's running mate is Senator Tim Kaine, the former governor of the southeastern state of Virginia. To learn more about him, VOA's Mohammed El-Shenawi spoke with Sava Shami, who was an aide to Kaine while he was governor. Shami spoke about the Democratic vice presidential candidate's leadership style.
He governs with big heart, paying attention to very little details and delegating responsibilities to people who are like-minded and who cared about the powerless. Additionally, he created many, many jobs by attracting several of the big companies such as Volkswagen and BMW and other companies that for North America are headquartered here in Virginia. In terms of trade, I personally worked with him on specific areas in business where I worked as Chief Deputy Commissioner of Agriculture. And we opened markets such as selling of grain to Egypt. We more than doubled Virginia sales of grain to Egypt. Another area of focus that he worked very hard on is making sure that poor families in the state were treated right by having medical care that was accessible. So the state really invested in programs that the federal government otherwise did not do. I can remember vividly also how he would listen to every point and the opposing point very patiently and always had positive words, even in the most difficult of disagreements with the other side, the Republicans in the House of Delegates and the Senate.
What would Tim Kaine bring to the Clinton campaign that could enhance her chances to win?
I believe he is a big draw to many of the ethnic communities. People will fall in love with his simplicity and with his ability to blend with the crowd in such an easy way without making anyone feel that they are lesser. He is great at just blending in. His fluent Spanish would definitely gain him lots of votes in states where the Hispanic vote is crucial. I believe here in Virginia, the Arab and Muslim communities and other immigrant communities will vote for the Democratic ticket because of Tim Kaine.
Would his selection as vice president attract reluctant Arab and Muslim voters?
Oh, absolutely. One of the biggest weapons we're going to use to attract these two communities is the history that we have with Tim Kaine. He's been to almost every mosque in Virginia. He attended every Arab American function that we've done in Northern Virginia, Central Virginia, and every other place.
Hillary Clinton said she picked him because he would be ready to take over if anything happened to her.
I not only agree with her, I tell her I'm glad she realized that. Tim Kaine, I think, is as ready as anyone in America to lead this great nation.
That was Sava Shami, former aide to Democratic vice presidential candidate Senator Tim Kaine. He spoke to VOA's Mohammed El-Shenawi.
Past the hour. This is African News Tonight on the Voice of America. The Associated Press reports that South Sudanese government soldiers allegedly raped dozens of ethnic Nuer women and girls last week just outside a UN camp in Juba. The AP quotes witnesses as saying at least two died from their injuries. Witnesses also say at least one sexual assault occurred as UN peacekeepers from Nepal and China watched. The UN mission spokesperson is quoted as saying she was looking into the incident and did not dispute that the rapes occurred. She did not comment on why the peacekeepers allegedly failed to act. There are about 30,000 displaced civilians in the UN camp known as Tom Ping. Nearly all are ethnic Nuer, the same ethnic group as former first vice president Riek Machar. The Associated Press reports Army spokesman Lul Ruai Koang did not deny that rapes occurred after the latest fighting, but said the military has yet to receive any formal complaints from victims. UN spokesman Farhan Haq says the United Nations is taking the AP allegations very seriously. He says an investigation is underway and that there would be serious repercussions if peacekeepers failed to render aid to the women who were attacked. In other news about South Sudan, Machar was heard today on an Al Jazeera broadcast saying he disagreed with the recent decision to replace him as first vice president. He claims it was a violation of the peace agreement that ended more than 2 years of fighting. Taban Dieng Gai now holds that position. Machar had not been seen or heard from since July 11th. His whereabouts remain unknown.
A new report accuses the youth wing of Burundi's ruling party of gang-raping women who have links to the opposition. Human Rights Watch says the rapes began after Burundi's political crisis erupted last year. Mohamed Yusuf reports.
Men armed with guns, knives and sticks terrorize women at night in small towns and villages in the countryside of Burundi, according to Human Rights Watch. Investigators found the men targeted women who they believed were married or related to anti-government supporters. Sky Wheeler, a women's rights researcher at Human Rights Watch, says they spoke to 70 women in the Nduta refugee camp in Tanzania.
We spoke to many women, and again and again we heard stories of how members of the Abonyokore, sometimes they knew them by face, would come to their houses at night, rape them, often in front of their children. And almost always, in every case, a gang rape, and then often ask for the husband, or beat the husband, or perhaps take the husband away.
The Nduta refugee camp is one of the three camps in Tanzania that hosts tens of thousands of Burundians who fled the country. According to the United Nations Refugee Agency, more than 170 people have reported rapes in Burundi, all during their flight to humanitarian officials in the two newest Tanzanian camps, Nduta and Mtendeli. Wheeler says in some cases, police officers and men dressed in uniform were involved in the violence against women.
We did find that in some cases, men dressed in police uniform were part of the attackers, but it's not always clear in Burundi whether this means that they actually are police. However, there were also other cases where women were raped in police stations or by police along the border when trying to leave the country.
VOA attempted to contact a spokesman for Burundi's ruling party and the police, but phone calls went unanswered. Local human rights activists have also accused Imbonerakure, the ruling party's youth league, of working with the police to commit rights violations. Burundi's government has denied the accusations. Local organizations have also accused the opposition of attacking government supporters and security forces. This month, a known gunman killed a former government minister, Hafsa Mosi, in central Bujumbura. The political crisis in Burundi began when President Pierre Nkurunziza announced he will run for a third term, a move his critics said was not allowed by the constitution and the Arusha Accord that ended Burundi's civil war. Nkurunziza won that election, earning 69% of the vote. Talks aimed at resolving the crisis have hit a snag, and the violence goes on. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Moroccan security officials say they have arrested 52 suspected militants. They're accused of plotting to create an Islamic State province and planning attacks within Morocco. The Interior Ministry today also announced the seizure of weapons, explosives, chemicals, and Islamic State flags. The arrests actually were made July 19th after investigations of more than 140 suspects with possible links to jihadists in refugee camps in southern Algeria.
Malawi police have arrested a man who practices the custom of deflowering young girls who have reached puberty. It is a ritual observed in some remote southern regions of the country as a form of cleansing. But there is concern the paid sex worker, referred to as a hyena, may have infected girls with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. Lamik Masina reports from Blantyre.
There are many like him in his remote village in Insanje district in southern Malawi. but Eric Aniva is considered the best. He is a hyena, the traditional title given to a man paid by families to have sex with the underaged girls to mark their passage from puberty to adulthood. He says he receives a fee of between $4 and $7 to sexually cleanse each girl. Aniva says he has deflowered more than 100 young girls, some as young as 12 years old, during an initiation ceremony known as Kusasa Fumbi, or removing the dust. But he also admits that he is HIV positive, a fact he says he has never revealed to families that hire him, and that he does not use any protection when conducting the ritual. The disclosure to news media prompted Malawi President Peter Mutharika to order his arrest and an investigation into others involved in the ritual. Aniva faces charges of defiling children and exposing them to HIV. Patricia Galiati is the government spokesperson.
We don't have any problem with the culture, which is very good to the people. But the harmful culture, we have a problem with it, and we are banning it. That's why we have to say we don't have any option than to arrest this person who's not even respecting the rights of the children, but also affecting them with the HIV AIDS, which is probably announcing that is positive.
But Aniva's arrest on Tuesday has sparked a heated debate among Malawians, including lawyers, AIDS activists, and traditional leaders. HIV AIDS activist David Odali told VOA ordering the arrests or banning cultural practices that have existed for a long time will not help matters. He says the best option would be to modernize the cultural practices that are perceived harmful to the people.
If someone wants to play the role of fish, if someone wants to do widow cleansing, if someone wants to do widow inheritance, then that person should first of all go for HIV testing.
The practice is centuries old. Parents send their young daughters to so-called initiation camps where they learn how to be good wives and please a man sexually. The sexual cleansing ritual is the last stage of the initiation. Hyenas are also called upon to cleanse women who are widowed or who have had an abortion. Traditional authority Teresa Kachindamoto is a local traditional leader who fights for the welfare and rights of young girls. She told VOA the practice traumatizes the girls. She says first, their rights have been violated. These girls will not be happy all their lives, which is killing. There is no need for chiefs to tolerate casual practices that are harmful, she says. Constitutional lawyer Echika Nyongolo says Mutharika's arrest order is wrong. He says the Malawi Constitution and the Police Act do not give the president powers to interfere with the operation of independent agencies like the police. Last year, Malawi banned child marriages and raised the legal age to marry from 15 to 18. Police say Aniva is expected to appear before the court soon. He faces a maximum sentence of life imprisonment. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. Stay tuned for Straight Talk Africa with Shaka Sali, coming up at 18:30 UTC. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our African News Tonight producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Rob McLean, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, Shaka Sali and his guests will discuss the Democratic National Convention and what a Hillary Clinton presidency could mean for Africa. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
The political party convention is a critical part of the American electoral process. VOA correspondents are there reporting the latest developments.
Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Jim Malone, VOA News, at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Tune in to VOA's extensive, up-to-the-minute coverage of the U.S. presidential election.
The Voice of America, VOA.